come without a price. It has not come without a fight. And God had spoken in my heart. He said, I want your ministry to be called Good Tree Ministry. And he gave that word to me back in 1991. I had no clue what a good tree was. I didn't even know where it was in the Bible. Matter of fact, even when I just spoke it out in existence, it wasn't until maybe a year later that I finally found all the scriptures and references. All I knew was Psalms 1:3. That's all I kept giving me. Psalms 1:3. You'll be led free, planted by the river of the water. And I'm like, well, that's cool. I love water and I love trees. So praise God. So if that's what makes a good tree, then I'm all about being a good tree. And the Holy Spirit started to send me out on the streets. That's where church was. He says, I'm not in here anymore. I'm out there where they are. But none of you will go out and get them to bring them in here so I can train them up to send them back out. None of you. I've been in many ministries where they just sit there and they're so happy with a plate and they're passing the plate around. You know, and the pastor, oh, God, somebody's got to bring $100 in today. And then, well, what are we going to everybody? And it was the giving of guilt. You know, and that is not the way God operates. No. He does not operate that way. No. God owns a cattle on a thousand
hills.
That's right. You know, and if God needed it, He'll get it. Right. Amen?
Right.
But that does not dismiss you from giving. Because you give to get blessed.
Right.
Because you got to be in the business of outgiving God.
That's right.
You got to be in the business of outgiving the Lord. Because I'm going to tell you, if you practice those principles, you know that you can't outgive that man.
I know that.
Right.
But what our ministry did is we took nothing. We had nothing. No money, no nothing. We had nothing. Yet we were able to go out on the streets and see people's lives transformed right before our eyes.
Amen.
The very same people Jesus went to when He was here on this earth. The very same people He went to, He sent us out after.
Amen.
We have hugged drug dealers. I've hugged men that were drunk. We got witnesses here. Pastor Dance, our administrator from Lansing. He's our administrator, pastor from Lansing. That's my hometown. I'll never forget the day when this man showed up in my life. Hallelujah. I mean, this is what God's doing. But I would never have met the ministers that I have. We've got some powerful ministers on our team. We don't do church.
Amen.
All of my ministers preach. You come into our ministry, you are expected to give me a 2-minute testimony of what Jesus did for you last week. Because that's an offering.
Amen. There you go.
Or you give me a 15-minute sermon.
I like it.
Well, I mean,
is he alive or is he alive?
That's the point. If we're going to be disciples of Christ, then we've got to understand a few things. When you give your heart to Jesus Christ, it was just a matter of time. It was just a matter of when you were going to do it. It was a matter of time when you were going to decide that, I'm tired of getting beat up by this dude over here that says he's all powerful. I need the truth.
Amen.
And when you find the truth, it shall set you free.
Amen.
And His name is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Or for us Hebrews, it's Yeshua HaMashiach.
Amen.
Do you realize that we have lost this and now it's back? We were never to give this tool up. You know what this is? This is the devil's worst nightmare outside of the blood of Jesus. You know what this does? It calls forth God's angels.
Amen.
Our communities have lacked in the blowing of the trumpet. The blowing of the trumpet causes division in the enemy's camp. Why would we not use this? We became westernized. We just don't do that here. It's a lot of noise, and we got people that are trying to sleep while I'm preaching. I don't want to disturb them because they're our biggest tyrants. But the Holy Spirit has been moving on my heart to go into these places of so-called worship and to bring them back into the place where they can worship in truth and in spirit.
Amen.
When I'm in Africa, I'm over there re-correcting the damage that us Western Christians have brought over their country. They've got all their things established. They've got all the pretty, frivolous things out there. And they're on mud huts. They're all mine. The pastor's looking pretty sharp and dapper. The guy's got a 3-piece suit on in 90-degree weather with a tie, while everybody else around him has barely got any scrap of clothing on. He's looking pretty sharp. What's up with that?
Really?
Man, I didn't even bring a tie on that trip. I was so dressed down, I felt embarrassed. I mean, they were looking better. They had better clothes than I had here. It was out of order. I thought the very first day that I preached in Africa, they were going to kill me. Because I'm sitting up there and I'm preaching to the congregation. I'm saying, why are you not going out? Why are you not? Oh, your shepherd hasn't released you. I had several of the shepherds sitting over here. You should have seen the looks on those shepherds' face when the Holy Spirit got done with it. They're all like, because the congregation started looking at their shepherds like, you never told us that we had the power to go out there. You understand? But they didn't get that from them. They got it from us.
Yep.
Because we, being the Dutch Reformed Church of America, or whatever, decided there's order. God's a God of order. He most certainly is. Not me.
Right. Right. Right.
We've been trying to order God to do things for such a long time.
Yep.
Instead of letting Him come in and bring order into our lives.
Amen.
Our ministry started out as a street ministry. We had people lined up. I've got testimonies. We're Inkster, Michigan. We're out on the streets in Inkster, Michigan. Inkster, Michigan. I don't even want to tell you all the garbage that's been going on in Inkster, but I'm telling you, there's a remnant that rose up in Inkster. Went out on the street corner, started winning souls, started seeing deliverances, started seeing God do some incredible things. The Holy Spirit spoke to me back in 2000, and I want you to walk across the state of Michigan. I want you to do it. I thought, oh, do I do it now? You know, and I'm getting ready, and I'm starting to go. Nope, not now. So every year I'm thinking I got to walk this cross. In the meantime, we keep being faithful, going out on street corners. We're out every Friday night. Out there, faithfully, every Friday night. Have a church. On the Sabbath.
Amen. If you're of Jewish persuasion.
I'm out on the Sabbath. Because the word of the Lord says not to do my own will.
Right.
Isn't that cool? Yeah. It ain't just rest. I'm resting in Him.
Amen.
I mean, I'll tell you, you can't get more restful sitting on a chair at a cardboard table, the sign says, need prayer, sitting there just handing out chocolate chip cookies. As I was telling my brother, I said, Jesus does love chocolate chip cookies. Good thing to do when you're on the street corners. And they come to you. They come to you. I was out on the streets here not too long ago, and I was looking at the people across the street, and I don't run over there and get them. If the Holy Spirit says, yell at them, yeah, yell at them. But if he said, just be quiet, so sign says it right there. Need prayer? Doesn't say, hey, you got to have Jesus or you're going to hell. You know, I know that God is touching their heart because I get to watch what Jesus is doing.
Exactly.
He gets them, turn their head, they're looking. They're on the way to go buy drugs. They're on the way to go do something. And the next thing they go up, they're like, ah! And they come across the street, across the River Jordan, into the Promised Land, and they meet their King.
Amen.
That's church.
Amen. There you go.
That's church. When Pastor Dan first met me, he was coming back from a Promise Keepers conference. Matter of fact, it's right here in Grand Rapids. We are in Lansing, Michigan. I'll never forget this. We had our little canopy out in this parking lot right across from a great big church. They turned into a nightclub. They called it the, what was that place of it called?
Temple Club.
Isn't that special? I mean, it's the truth. It was a temple club. I mean, they went in there to celebrate their temples. And that's exactly what they did. They're going to booze it up, drink, and have a great time, and actually have a real church. Think about it. So we were across the street, been there for 2.5 years, till the Holy Spirit closed that place down, bankrupted them. Praying for everybody that was coming out of their doors.
Amen.
Things we saw, miracles we saw.
Amen.
We had bigger gatherings across the street than they had drinking beer in their great big three-story bar.
Amen.
Pastor Dan comes marching across the parking lot one night after he got back from a Promise Keeper thing, and he's like, "No, I just gotta go." And he'd seen us out there before, and it was driving him nuts. Says, "You know, there's crazy people out there," and. Finally, the Holy Spirit touched his heart, and I'll never forget, he comes walking right across that. And that night, I don't want to be at Promise Keepers. Man, Lord, I wanted to go tonight. He said, no, you got to stay here tonight. You got to stay here. So I'm around there with my brothers and my sisters, and we're just sitting there. And I watched my brother come walking, just beeline right across. And I went, whoa, there's a man of God. And my spirit's like, whoa, man, there's a man of God. And I'll tell you, he come beeline right across from me, and it was just as if God had just opened a door and says, This is one of my best.
Amen.
I'm not bragging on him, but he says he's just the best of the best. He's already trained. He just needs some place to be loosed.
Amen.
And he can tell the story a whole lot better than I can. He's our media producer. He does all the media works for us. He's been filming this entire walk. And because it's about winning souls. It's about getting the message out. It's about telling people that, you know what, church is over. I'm sorry.
Thank you. Tell it.
The Holy Spirit spoke to me out in California here a couple weeks ago. He said, I'm going to remove these pastors from their pulpits. And I'm going to replace them with my prophets and my apostles.
Amen.
He says, they have been playing me for too long and I'm sick of it.
Amen.
They have coddled my children too long and they have made me a disgrace.
Amen.
Therefore, I am going to send fire into these places. Holy fire, because I'm so tired of the strange fire
Amen.
That has been going on in their so-called sanctuaries, which they think they're honoring me with. When you're doing things His way, you cannot deny the peace, the love, the joy that you have. When you're doing things His way, and you yield your emotions to His emotions, and you take on His burdens, and you start doing the things that God wants you to do,
Amen.
Even little Jackson has the power to prophesy.
Amen.
And why do you think the devil's trying to hurt him? Because the devil is trying to take you out.
That's right.
You see, he doesn't care if you give your heart to Jesus when you get old, because he's already got the church so twisted. And he makes sure that you go to church because that's what you got to do. You get to come in, you get to sit on the pews, and then you get to stay there for the next 20 years doing nothing for Jesus.
Come on.
Nothing.
Come on.
Because the devil's been up here preaching from behind the pulpit. Well, all right, now we just can't rock the boat here because, you know, we got the Phillips in the back that they've been really keeping this building clean. And that's sad. Because that's a sad thing for all these Bible colleges that have been pumping out a bunch of pastors that don't even know who Jesus is.
Right.
I went down to a campus down in Indianapolis, went to a Church of Christ campus where they were training ministers. I went to lunch with a pastor, with a so-called getting ordained pastor, and I'm there at lunch with this man, and he's sitting there telling me I've got a 4-year degree and I'm going to be a pastor, I'm getting ordained as a pastor, and I don't even know who Jesus is.
Wow.
I've got a church waiting for me.
What's up with that?
Really? So we spent all these thousands of dollars sending our children to these seminaries, training them to keep the people inactive.
Right.
If one can send 1,000 to flee, and two can send 10,000 to flee, what if a whole congregation got up and went right outside and held church outside on the street corner?
There you go.
What would happen then?
Oh, gosh.
Jesus.
That's what would happen.
That's what would happen. But if you don't know who you are in the body of Christ, if you don't know what your gifting is, if you don't understand the fact that Jeremiah 1:5 says this to you, he says, I knew you before you were in your mother's womb.
Right.
And did he not sanctify you there? And is God a respecter of person?
No.
Will he not do for you as he did for Jeremiah? Jeremiah was a kid.
Yeah.
I'm not a child. What do I know? But when you're obedient to the king, and you start to throw away religious principles and thoughts, when you start understanding that it's a relationship thing, and you heard your pastor preach relationship, how many times? Every day. Every time you're in here, right? And if you understand that each of you have the same authority and power that I have,
right? Exactly.
Do you want to meet me in a dark alley full of sin? I wouldn't. I saw my twin brother come across the street, pulling up his tuckmobile. I'm looking at him, we're just there, and Brother Mike and I, he's got the flag, I got the cross, and I'm sitting there and I'm smiling because I know what God's doing. Because he promised me I was going to meet some extremely awesome people on this journey. that were going to help me an answer and also help us to get done what He wanted to do. You see, God wants to restore the body in this last day.
Amen.
Right.
And I'm here to preach on restoration today. I'm not here to talk about revival.
Amen.
Revival's for dead people.
Right.
Oh, when you revive somebody, you do a CPR.
That's right.
Please!
That's right.
But when you are getting restored, you're getting something new.
Uh-huh. Amen.
You're going,
amen.
I could have been winning souls!
Yep. Amen.
That's what I'm here to tell you today.
Amen.
I'm telling you that you have the power, that you have the authority, that it is your job, not the pastor's job, not the apostle's job, to be out there. His job is to stir up in you that yes,
amen,
that God gave you so that you will put these into motion and start being who God created
amen
you to be.
Amen. There you go.
I don't care what you think you've done in your past. It is under the blood.
Amen.
But the devil's got a DVD of your whole life story because he's the one to help you create.
Yep.
So you have to determine in your spirit who do you want to be the director of your next movie.
Come on.
The Holy Spirit or the devil and his crew?
Nope.
You have got to make a determination. Is the Word of God real or is it a fanciful storybook?
Come on.
You've got to make a determination in your life. Is your faith real or are you just enjoying the social club mentality?
Come on.
I would just prefer you to just go hang out at the bar. You'll get more there. Because you're not doing God any good if you're going to continue to have the greatest gift in all the universe and hoard it to yourself.
There you go. Dead Sea.
How many of you come in time and time again? You come into service, you want to hear a real great word, you want to get motivated, yet you come in only to check on the spiritual gift that you've buried underneath your seat. Yep, my gift of preaching is still there. Good. It won't be tampered with. And you go. Well, I don't know about you, but the Word of God says that He's going to want to have that gift back with some interest.
Amen.
When you
right
come face to face with Him.
Right.
He's going to want to see what you did with the gift that He gave you. He's going to want to see the fruit from your labor.
There you go.
You know what? I get to drag in. You know what? Jesus sees me. I'm going to be pulling this great big thing coming in. And says, oh no, just say that again. It's the three planes and the three trains behind you. They'll be coming up too.
Yep.
And I'm going to see the biggest smile on His face. Because I got to figure it out. It was never about me.
Amen.
It wasn't about my kingdom.
Amen.
It was about His kingdom.
Amen.
And He said, now that you got that figured out, General, now I need you to start telling the rest of my army.
Amen.
They can be generals.
Amen.
Well, I like to play the guitar. Do it for Jesus.
Amen.
I like to sing. Do it for
Jesus. Amen.
I like to sing. Do it for Jesus.
Amen.
I like to get it out and just let the fire come out of my mouth.
Amen.
Amen. I like to lay hands on the sick and see them healed. Do it for Jesus.
Amen.
I love the elderly. Do it for Jesus.
Amen.
I love teaching children. Do it for Jesus.
Amen.
I love healing. Do it for Jesus.
Amen. There you go.
Do it for Him. He expects you to do that.
Amen.
There's not an individual in this room right now that has a burden that Jesus has not carried for you. There's not an individual in this room that has been hurt by one of Satan's people that Jesus has not dealt with. And the whole matter of restoration for us is very simple. Believe in Him who
amen
sent His Son.
Amen.
To believe in Him who sent His Son. Jesus, if Jesus says that I am the way, I am the truth, I am the light, You either believe that or you don't believe
that. That's right.
And you've got to make up a decision right now in your heart. Are you going to believe that? And you also have to understand that he also said, you didn't choose me. But I chose you and I ordained you to go out into the world. And that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever you ask of the Father in my name shall be given unto you.
Amen.
Now, that's ordination time.
Amen.
So he already appointed you. You already knew that in Jeremiah 1:5 he says, hey, guess what? I knew you were in the womb. He didn't say, Mom. He said, I knew you were in the womb. And it's in the womb that I sanctified you.
Amen.
He didn't, it wasn't the matter what womb you came out of. He purposed you to be here.
Right. Amen.
Now, your mom might have been a drunk like my mom was at the time. Might have been an alcoholic. Might have been all sorts of things. But you see, it did not matter.
Right.
Your life mattered.
Right.
You being here today, that matters.
Right.
You sitting here today and hearing this message, that matters.
Right.
Because I am releasing you today into your callings today.
Amen.
So that you will not doubt again the Word of God that was spoken to you. You will embrace it. And you will say, yes.
Amen.
I now have no excuse to serve in me.
Amen.
I now have no excuse. We talked about restoration. Well, what do I need to be restored for? Well, remember that little tidbit of talk about how Satan has been messing with you since you were a little child? Offending you. You know why we're offended? Because we're nothing but lovers.
Uh-huh.
We desire love, we are created in love, and when anything that is opposite of love occurs in our life, we become offended. I'm rejected. I'm not wanted. I'm not loved. Why did they do that to me?
I thought they loved me.
You know what? When Jesus hung forward on the cross,
yes,
with the nails embedded in his wrist, leaning forward, looking at you and I through his own blood, through his own sweat, through his own tears. And he looked down upon us and he said with these words, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
Amen.
That's when you start to get restored.
Amen.
Because I'm going to guarantee you, people don't offend unless they've been offended.
Right.
People don't wake up in the morning and say, I'm going to go offend Charlie down the street. It's okay. People don't do that.
Right.
People don't offend unless they've been offended.
Right.
And if you want to stop offending people, start forgiving the ones that offended you in the first place.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Because when you loose them, they get set free and you get set free.
That's right.
If you knew who the devil really was in your life, you'd be ticked off. You'd be calling people up on the phone. Did you ever offend me? I just want to forgive you.
Amen.
What do you think of that, Satan?
There you go.
Oh, by the way, I get that innocence back that you stole from me.
That's right.
Seven, pay up on you.
That's right.
The Word of God, Jesus says, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven.
Amen.
Whatever you loose on earth shall be loose in heaven.
That's right.
Amen. Matthew 16. And then he gets to repeat it again in Matthew 18. Isn't that just a genius of him?
Yeah,
to make sure that he speaks it twice in the book of Matthew. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah. Amen.
You know, I think he was a little serious about it. And you know what binding and loosing was? It was all about forgiveness.
Amen.
Because in Matthew 18, you learn about, well, how many times did I forgive my brother? Seven times 70. Man, if you're around offending somebody that many times in your day, you're going to get delivered. I'm going to tell you. Man, that's a lot of punches in the face. But do you understand that we offend others out of our own lacks, out of our own woundedness, out of our own
offense? That's right.
But when you forgive the individuals that the devil had planned to ruin your life, why? Because he knew that the Father knew you before you were in the womb. He knew you were there before you were here. Why do we call this a pilgrimage? Why do we call this, hey, I'm going home? Well, you didn't have a home if you didn't know the home. You know, a home is a place you know.
Right.
A home is a place you've been.
Yeah.
A home has been a status for you.
Well,
are you hearing me, folks?
Yeah.
Because you see, I'm going home.
Right.
That means I was there sometime in my existence somewhere, and I'm going home.
Right.
But you know what? If I decide to serve the enemy of God, I get to go to his home.
Right. There you go.
It's my choice.
That's right.
I can either just be so angry with God,
but allow the devil to offend me.
Or I could say, Dad, this dude is messing with me again.
Yep.
Uh-huh. Deal it.
Amen.
I mean, I have had the devil show up in my house. I have lost my houses, my vehicles. My wife walked out on me after 10 years of marriage. Walked said, I can't be a pastor's wife anymore. But I know her past. I know she's so hurt and there's nothing I can do. She says, I can't be what you want. I said, I don't want to be anything but happy.
Amen.
So she ran off into the arms of her old high school buddy. And I said, okay, I had to lose her. As soon as she walked out of the house, our ministry crippled in size. That day.
Amen.
I'm being called. Hey, I need you to help me. I need you. You know? I couldn't even have a little conversation with her. I said, I'm sorry, honey, I gotta go. Then great, then fun, love you, bye. I'm gonna go serve my king.
Amen.
Amen.
Isn't that awesome? Yeah. But you see, we have got to understand that there is somebody else out there that just doesn't want you to have a happy day. And
what?
And he will work through just the strangest individuals to get at you.
Oh yeah.
Did not Jesus even say that even in your own household that you'd have enemies?
Right.
Yes.
Did he not say that? Yeah, that's going to happen if you're not restored. So I want to encourage you this morning is that, number one, you need to understand that God knew you before you got here.
Amen.
He had already had a plan and purpose for your life. It wasn't some cute, cuddly little thing. You were sent down with purpose. You were sent down with a plan. And I'll tell you what your plan entails. You were to help him, the Father, fulfill the obligation and covenant he made with Father Abraham. Your job is to be here at such a time as this to make sure that we are filling up the promise that he made to Father Abraham. He promised Father Abraham, I'm going to give you the descendants as far as the stars are in the heavens and the kernels of sand along the seashore. Now, I don't know about you, but that's a whole lot of people.
Amen.
But if you've got a whole lot of so-called Christians sitting on the pews not going out and gathering the others, we missed our mark.
Amen.
You are the workers.
Amen.
You are the laborers. You have been prayed for prior to your existence here. The reason you're here is because somebody prayed for your existence to happen here now.
Right.
Because this is the last day. And there are a few laborers. And I want to guarantee you, Jesus wasn't saying that because it was a neat thing for him to say. This was an automatic fact. He says, the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. So therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest.
Right.
He gave us an answer.
Right.
And so those saints of the past have been praying for you.
That's right.
They've been praying for you. You are here with purpose. Your purpose is to go out and multiply the kingdom.
Right.
Because the kingdom of God lives in you. And wherever your foot steps, the kingdom goes.
Yes.
Wherever that cross is that's in that man goes, the kingdom is going.
Amen.
I'm telling you, when I came through Grand Rapids yesterday,
yes.
And we had just, man, I'd only had 3.5 hours of sleep, but I felt like I had 60 hours of sleep. We walked right into the cloud of the Holy Ghost like the Holy Ghost was just waiting for us. We walked right into the cloud like, ooh!
Oh, yes we did.
Oh! And I got crossed. Ooh! People driving by me thought I tripped. We started to laugh. We cried.
We walked into His presence.
Amen. Because He knew that the day ahead of us was going to be extremely hard. And He knew that today He needed to infill me so that I would have the energy to tell you the truth.
Amen.
About who you are.
Amen.
You see, I heard this story too long ago.
Now, you know, Jesus doesn't need us. He could just snap his fingers. I'm sorry. That's a lie.
Right.
Jesus needs you.
Right.
He would never send you if he didn't.
That's right.
There is not a wasted life on the face of this planet.
Right.
Yes.
And when we were in that ball of fire, I thought you were in a ball of fire. I was coming through the hoity-toity area of Grand Rapids, the wealthy area. And I was carrying the cross. I'm a white guy. And I have a black guy with me. And we're walking through this carrying the American flag. I'm walking the cross. And people who have been so wounded by Satan, so tricked by Satan, had become lovers of themselves, lovers of their money,
right.
Worship mammon,
right.
Looked at the cross in disgust and turned forcefully, making sure that I saw it, walked back into their little mansions. And the Holy Ghost went off. And the Holy Ghost said things I couldn't try to catch. Came out of my mouth so fast against them. And he was crying. The Holy Ghost was crying.
Do you not know I love you? Do you not know I'm jealous for you? Do you not know what is at your doorstep? For I shall demand your life even unto this day.
Amen.
And after that explosion, the Holy Spirit, I want to say pout, but I don't think he was pouting. He was just so sad. And we walked with the cross for the next 3 blocks in silence and hurt and pain because they've been deceived.
Right.
Their wealth has deceived them.
Right.
And many of those people received their wealth off of your backs. They took money from you. They beat you up. And I don't know, I've read the scriptures in reference to what God's going to do with the wealth.
Yep.
It's not free.
Right.
It's not free. And you've all heard the story about the rich man had all the riches in the world, yet Lazarus laid in his trust.
Yep.
And he's in hell, and Lazarus is in the bosom of Abraham.
Right.
That's what's awaiting them. And you need to have a heart for them. You need to have a heart for the wealthy. Because you know what the Holy Spirit told me was going to happen? You remember that wealth that's been stored up?
Yeah.
The wealth of the wicked that's been stored up? Well, guess what, folks? It's being poured out now unto his righteous.
Yeah.
But if you're not a doer for the word of the Lord, you'll never see any of that. And if you're thinking about the money, you'll never see any of that.
Right.
But you know what? If you got to get to Africa tomorrow, the money will be there for you.
Right.
If you got to be over on the Wisconsin tomorrow, the money will be there for you. If you got to get across the United States to go touch somebody in the hospital, just to fly out there, lay hands on them, and declare them healed, and if that's the only purpose you're sent out there, that money will be there for you. There will be places that God is just going to give us, or homes that we have not built that we will inhabit. These are the things that are going to happen in these last days. But if you still are sitting on the pews, being offended, you ain't doing nothing. You're going to sit there, and you, my friend, get to go to hell.
Come on.
Because the reason you're sitting on the pews is because you're offended, therefore there's bitterness, therefore you're living in unforgiveness, and you get to go where those people that do not practice love, joy, peace, you get to go there.
Right.
Bitterness will put you in hell. It is a root that keeps reaching deep down into hell until its taproot is there. Because you cannot forgive what somebody who you trusted did unto you. Who, by the way, was motivated by the devil because he was wounded in, or who she was wounded in the past, and so it was just a big scene in the first place.
Right, exactly.
So when you can sit here on this and think, I got Jesus, and you walk outside of these doors, and the first person you're thinking, that low down, dirty scum, rotten, you know, and you don't understand that the devil was using him to get at you,
right?
Because of your calling,
right?
The devil can't afford to have this brother preach. He can't afford to have him sing and play the guitar. He can't afford to have that happen. He can't. Because if he does, people get saved.
That's right.
He can't afford to have little Jackson prophesying because if he does, people get saved.
There you go.
He can't afford to have you living a life of forgiveness because if you do, people get saved.
Right.
And the fulfillment of the promise to Abraham starts to get completed. You see, the devil knows the covenant that God made with Abraham. He was there. He knows if he could kill you before you come out of the womb through offense. Or if he can mess with you when you do come out of the womb and keep you offended. He gets to stick around for a while longer.
Yep.
Because the devil knows that his days are short.
Yep.
And there's a 7-year period that we're coming into, saints.
Yep.
And I don't know about you, but there are a few of us that know our end.
Yep.
So to speak. Or, well, I would say our end on this door.
Yep, that's right.
You see, you can't kill me.
Right. That's right.
You can't kill me twice. But for those who will hold on to their life,
come on.
Not only will they die once in the physical, they'll die twice spiritually.
Yep.
Ouch. Because some dude with little horns tricked them. He's a deceiver. Oh, we just don't talk about Satan here. It offends people.
Bring up on the same breath. Stop a minute right now.
People. Oh,
that's too bad.
Oh, really? Well, guess what? You just been used by the devil.
That's right.
You just became the offender, the worst offender of all.
There you go.
You know how many pastors are going to be sitting in hell still preaching for all eternity?
Yep. Yep.
Because it's been about filthy lucre?
Yep.
Became career pastors?
Yep.
And they're looking at their so-called cemetery or seminary school going, anything about this. Because these seminaries are all about filthy lucre. They're all about prostituting the Word of God.
Yep.
I don't know about you, but the Word sort of really happened to pick up a Bible, read it. I didn't pick up a Bible.
Right.
I might have had to buy a Bible. That Bible lives.
Amen.
But it won't live unless it's living in you.
That's right.
And it's got to live in you.
Amen.
You've got to be the Word.
Amen.
And you notice that I don't have a Bible in my hand, but everything that's come out of my mouth is scriptural. And you're all going, oh, yeah, that's right. That's 3 John. That's Psalms 118. You see, that's the way you've got to live your life.
Amen.
You've got to live your life that the Word of God can flow out of you.
Amen.
I don't need to give you a reference point. There is one reference point. And he's in here right now.
Amen.
You've got to ask him in here, Dad? Are you understanding what God is doing for the saints in his last days? Restoring the body of Christ so that we can go hang out with those crazy Baptists down the street. So we can hang out with these spirit-filled Catholics down here. So we can go over here to the Methodist church that's got all the Freemasons in there trying to keep them all, you know, on here. No. Oh, man. Oh! All those Nicolaitans and Gnostics that Jesus said he hated.
Right.
That's what a Freemason is. It's a Nicolaitan. I'm sorry.
Amen.
Oh, ouch. And if you got somebody in your family that's a Freemason, really pray for them.
Amen.
Because they are serving Satan's main church.
Amen.
Freemasonry.
Amen.
My dad is a Freemason. My grandfather was a 32nd Freemason. And they do what they call an allegory. They give you this cute little story on the top. Oh, all guys. We love Allah. We love. They don't say Jesus. We love God. Adonai. But we also love Lucifer. Sorry, it's the truth. I know it. They told me. They confessed to me that they were Nicolaitans. I heard out of their own mouth. 84 years of age. Guy was going to die. Yeah, I'll probably be dead. Yep, we're Nicolaitans. Yep, we're Gnostics. Yep, that's what we are God. That's exactly what they told me. They're twisted. The devil's been working them over.
Yep.
You need to forgive those people in your life that are involved in that cult.
Amen.
Because they do not let you speak Jesus in their little secret ceremonies. You're not allowed to. You can't do that. These are the deceitful things that Satan has placed in our churches. And they're walking amongst us.
Yep.
And they'll give you all this wonderful, if you just speak to the universe. The universe will hear you and will give you all the things. The secret. Anybody read that book yet? Or heard about that? Always coming. Oh, yeah, we love God. But you speak to the universe. If you can sit with your legs crossed in the most horrible position in your life, with your finger going, you'll find inner peace on your way to hell. This is not what God created you for.
I know it.
He'd like you to go out there going, oh. Oh. You see, when you understand who you are in Christ, you don't pray in vain.
Right. Right.
Objection? You don't pray in vain. Because we know that Jesus whoops on the bad devil.
That's right. Amen.
I've seen him do it.
That's right.
Amen. Little David can preach back there. I love it. See, some children. We had a five-year-old. We're all this big, 40 to 20 pastors. We're all in a big gathering several years ago when the Lord was all stripping of everything that I had. And we all in there, we're all praying, and how wonderful we are, you Lord God, here we are praying. And a little five-year-old walks in, looks up at us in the middle of our seat. You see, just squished in there. And he looked up at us. His name was Caleb, by the way. I love kids by the name of Caleb. They're the greatest kids, I'm telling you. Don't name your kid Michael or Caleb. Just the devil hates those guys. I'm telling you. Everybody's going to like, look up there like, oh, man, I'm telling you. Anyways, so this little kid comes in. He looks up at us and says, in order to be exalted, he first must be humble. And then he squirmed his way right out. We've got a 10-year-old young man who can read King James Version. 10-year-old carried the cross for the children when we got to Weberville. He carried the cross from one point of the school ground to the other. He carried it. Little 10-year-old, not this, I'm just this big, skinny, and he is picking that cross up and he was carrying it. He said, I'm carrying this for these children.
Amen.
He was carrying the cross for those kids. And I didn't need to tell a 10-year-old. Well, son, you got to go to seminary for the next 16 years of your life. And, you know, you really need to understand what is on this cross. You see, it's not just a wooden cross. There's a lot of things that were done in this 2,000 years. You know, that little 10-year-old could 20-year pastors is shit.
Amen.
He did more in a 15-minute walk than some pastors have done in their entire existence behind a pulpit.
Amen.
Do you understand what I'm saying, saints? But if you're not restored through the power of forgiving the ones that offended you, and you're getting something new back, you're charged. And when you get that back and you're out there to do the work that God called you to do in the first place, what are you doing?
Amen.
If you're not, and I'm telling you, if you're not so pumped right now, I mean, I hope you're thinking, I've got to break the list of everybody that offended the Lord. Right. I don't care what they did to you. Guess what? You're still breathing, aren't you? You're sitting here, aren't you?
Right.
You obviously went through it. Now you got to get the mind through it.
Amen.
You got to get the mind through it. The only way you're going to get the mind through it is by renewing your mind. Through the Word of God and understanding that when Jesus said, I forgave you, it's done.
Amen.
When He forgave you, it was over with. He don't even remember what it is He did in the first place.
Right.
It's done.
Right.
As far as the east
right.
and the west.
Right.
That's what Psalm says 103.
I don't know, as far as the east and the west.
Yep.
But if you're still holding on to some offense that somebody did to you 6 years ago, guess what? Guess what? You're in trouble.
That's right.
That person might have asked God for forgiveness and been forgiven, and they get to go to heaven,
and you get to go to hell.
Now, how fair is that? That's not very fair. But you understand that person was offended too. You understand what I'm saying? We're all a bunch of offenders. Got tricked into doing this. And I don't know about you, but I'd be a little ticked at the devil if I were you right now. I'd be thinking about things. You see, you've got to get the devil from being this big over your life to the gum underneath your shoe.
That's right.
Like I was telling the apostle, I said, if I want to talk to the devil, I'll lift my foot. Don't think his chances are very good today.
Amen.
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 If you don't know who you are in Christ, if you don't understand that you are ministers, ambassadors.
There you go.
You are as valuable.
Come on.
To Him.
Come on.
As the Billy Grahams of the world.
Amen.
And if you don't understand that He needs you to fulfill your duty.
Amen.
And you know what it is.
Amen.
What's your passion? What gets you excited? That you could do anything in your life that is not sinful in nature, but it's a passion of yours. You know what? chances are that's your calling.
Amen.
And he expects you to act it out.
There you go.
If it's taking care of the elderly that you just love, or those who are missing a few chromosomes or have extra chromosomes, I don't care what it is. If that's your heart, then be there. Do
there
that.
Go.
Because
Amen.
If you're doing it, you're doing it for him.
Amen.
Because he called you to do it.
Amen.
He called you to do that. If you're going to be a teacher for heaven's sake. But look for Jesus.
There you go.
Don't be politically correct.
Amen.
Politically correct is what's written all over hell's wall.
Right.
These are the things I need them to be trained. He's got all his genius trained now. They're sitting in school. I want you to get the teachers to preach this. Don't ever let them come against anybody that has a homosexual or gay or whatever. Well, you know what? I don't even know what a homosexual is. I don't even know what gay is. All I know that Jesus says there are those that have been filled with a spirit of unnatural affection.
Right.
They're attracted to strange flesh. That's what Jesus called it.
Yeah.
So, pastors and preachers and teachers and singers, start using the terms that Jesus used.
Yeah.
I see you're bound with the spirit of unnatural affection.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, get out of here!
Yeah.
Well,
quiet.
How hard is that? How many years ago was it that I was beaten up by you guys about, we got to read the words of red? Remember that? Remember, I'm sending emails. Everybody, read the words of red. God changed. We got to know all the wrong words of red. Everything that Jesus told us, we need to know everything. Because what he was telling me, he says, why are you looking at an excuse by twisting the word of God, what Paul said, what Peter said, what James said? You know what? Just go back to what Jesus said.
Amen.
Right. Follow what Jesus says.
There you go.
Do what Jesus says, because I won't guarantee that's where Paul got his stuff. That's where Peter got his stuff. That's where Timothy got his stuff. That's where James got his stuff.
Amen.
But you see, we got it all twisted up. We think there's going to be some rapture. You're raptured out of here any minute now. Yeah, we'll be back any minute. Any minute now. I don't understand this. You see, I don't think there's a whole bunch of us in heaven yet that are as many as the stars are in the heaven. I don't think there's that many of us that are there when the kernels of the sand are on the seashore. I don't think there's that many yet.
Well, you could be back any minute.
Uh-uh! No! Wrong answer! Jesus said, at the end of the world.
Right.
And you know where he said it?
Matthew 13.
Yep.
No, he missed that part. Oh, no, in Thessalonians, it says, we're going to be gathered up. Well, I will hope so. But I don't know about you when Jesus said, oh, yeah, I'm going to send forth my angels, and they're going to take out all the things that offend it.
Yep.
First, and I'm going to have my angels bind them up and cast them into the lake of fire. Then I shall gather all those into my barn.
Amen.
Wait a minute. I don't know. The Assembly of God says there's going to be a rapture. It could come any minute. I don't think so.
Amen.
Jesus said you've got to be spotless. You've got to be wrinkle free. There's no blemish on you. Oh, you've been looking at the church lately. Whole lot of spots.
Whole lot of wrinkles.
Whole lot of wrinkles. And a whole lot of ugliness going on.
I know that's
right there.
I know
you know why? Right. Because the pastors won't release their sheep.
Yeah.
Can you imagine penning up a bunch of sheep in a stall and don't let them out in the green pasture, but just keep throwing food all the time? And you don't go in there to muck out the stall. What happens?
Oh, my word.
You get manure up to their necks.
I know that's right.
And I'm telling you, if I'm walking around in a pile of manure, I'm probably not going to be very happy.
No, no.
And you know what? I'm going to be looking at the sheep next to me, and I'm probably going to say something that's not going to be very nice to them.
Keep your manure over at your side.
Oh, you see the black sheep over there? They're looking pretty bad. And that's what happens. That the very ones that were saved from being offended are now the offenders.
Oh, man.
And we're training them to do so.
Oh,
they got the big poofy hat coming in. I have heard women tell me specifically that the reason they would dress nice is because they know people talking bad about them behind them. I got big feet. They're size 11, but they sometimes have a tendency to grow. Because I got a stomp on some toes.
Amen.
Because I'd rather hear you say, ouch!
Amen.
Just to know if you're alive or not.
Come on.
If you're alive, then you can get restored. But if you're dead, you need to be revived.
Amen.
We got a revival going on down here. I said, well, you got a bunch of weight at the video cemetery or something. What's going on here? Revive what? So they can go back to sleep again?
Right.
Did not the Twin Towers wake you guys up?
Amen.
Did not the Virginia Tech thing wake you up? You know where I was? When I was sitting there, and you know what I saw? I saw this great big Christian laying in his bed, saw the Virginia Tech thing going on. I went, oh, that's horrible. What a terrible thing. Oh, that dude needs to be delivered. This is the danger. Because the body of Christ in this America is not restored.
Right.
They can't love the people in the other church down there. They can't. Because they were told up here, we don't associate with those kinds of dysfunctional Christians. On 7-11 of 07, the Pope told the rest of the world in writing that the Protestants are the dysfunctional Christians of our family. Thank you, Mother Mary. Amen. But when we start understanding that, you know what? I'm not really concerned about what the Catholics are doing or what the Catholics are doing. I just need to be concerned about my calling. I need to be concerned about fulfilling the goal that God had put in my life. I need to be concerned about my brothers and my sisters. I need to be willing to lay my life down.
Amen.
I need to lay my life down for my brothers and my sisters. Instead of getting all hooked up on dogma and practices. Because you all were in here wondering, I wonder what dogma and practices that man's got. Oh yeah, I know. Because there's prophets in this room. And the prophets love to judge those that come into the room. And you should. Because you don't want snakes with bad breath coming in your ass.
That's right.
You need to be able to be stirred up in your spirit. And I know who you are. And I praise God for you.
Amen.
But you're constipated.
Go ahead, serve the X-lax.
It's time to poop.
Come on, buddy.
You got to get it out of your system. It's been built up for a long time, probably for a couple of years now, or maybe even longer. And I'm going to guarantee you, the first time you go out on the street and you empty yourself out on the street, and I guarantee you, it won't stink.
Amen. There you go.
And that's what I'm here to tell you today. If you're dealing with offenses in your life, that it was not for you. Your job is to do what Jesus does. What would Jesus do? Neat saying. How about do what Jesus does?
Yep.
That would be a whole lot better. Satan had no problem with what would Jesus do, because most people didn't even know what he did. So
right.
What would Harley do? You know? Yeah. I mean, the whole thing was, let's just do what Jesus does.
Amen.
He went out to set people free.
Amen.
He went out to break up the brokenhearted. He went out to chop off the bondage off the bodies of people.
Amen.
He made sure that we understood the fact that we are to carry our cross. Because if we didn't carry our cross, we were not worthy of Him.
Amen.
I don't know, that's pretty simple. It's pretty simple talking. But you know what? You're going to get into a situation and you're like, just not doing enough for Him. That's a good place to be.
Amen.
I'm just not doing enough. And you're too busy running because He's throwing blessings over here, laughing as you're running through all the blessings He's got in front of you. Because He's just like, boom, pouring them over. You're like, oh, no, 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 boom. 10 miles a day for Jesus.
Yeah.
10 miles of praying for people. 10 miles of that cross. Walking that cross. It's a little price to do for what God did for me.
Amen.
You know why? He said, walk that cross. Get it across to Lake Michigan, because when you get to Lake Michigan, I'm going to explode all over the state.
Amen.
And I am the only one that can do it.
Amen.
I am going to send people into their little congregation. They're going to stand up in the middle of Kyrie race and say, game's over.
Amen.
Everybody,
yeah.
Come out.
Yeah.
From underneath this Jezebel.
Yeah.
Follow me.
Yeah.
He's out here.
Yeah.
He's out here. You know, the guy on the colt, he's out here waiting for us.
Amen.
You know, Hosanna.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. The cross just went in front of your church, Pastor.
Amen.
The cross went by your church and you didn't even look out the window. Uh-oh. That's all he's been telling me every time I walk by a church. Well, you see, we didn't just walk by a church. Because I have a horn.
Amen.
We walk by a church.
Yes, sir.
Boom! Cross goes on the ground.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Jesus, whatever you got to do here, just do it.
Amen.
Fire!
Fire's full. You think one person come out the door? Man, that tent was locked tight. I mean, they probably got manure up to their neck and can't get to the door. No, I'm telling you, when you're doing Bible study for that many hours in a, you know, in your lifetime, Bible study, you know how fruitless it is to read the Word of God and not act upon it?
There you go. Come on, brother. Come on.
Was that good tree thing?
Come on.
Well, good tree bears good fruit.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, come on. I didn't know what to do. He said, just lie here. Just sit down. And I'll bring it to you.
Yep.
Open your mouth. Just relax. Sit down in the back of your mind.
Yep.
Wash your legs. Whatever you gotta do.
Yep.
Just speak what I tell you to speak.
Yep.
And people are going, how do you know those things? I don't know. I don't know anything about you. But I know what the Holy Ghost in me is telling me
right.
to tell you
yep.
about the Holy Ghost that wants to live in you.
Yep.
But you won't let him in. I ain't telling you why you're not letting him in. And the hardest thing that we have gotten to in reference to our restoration of this saints, you've forgiven everybody else in your life. You forgive yourself.
Come on.
You see, the devil doesn't work in the heart. He works in the mind.
Right.
He doesn't dare go down to the heart.
No.
Because he knows that's where he lives. But you sure can play with the Armageddon of your mind.
Yep.
And so, when it comes to forgiveness of yourself, you have this whole library of DVDs of all the nasty things that the devil had already directed in your life. You already had it laid out. If you could see what's going on behind the scenes in your life where he's got actually demons whispering in your ears to say that to this person, this person.
Come on.
And you enraged in your spirit because you're thinking in your mind that they were going to say this or say that. How many of you have had actually gone to a place where you had to have a confrontation with somebody, you know you were mad at them, and you had it all worked out in your mind what you were going to say, and you show up there and they'd already asked for forgiveness, and they not follow the script? How many of you know that? I've done that. I'm going to tell him, and you know he's going to say this to me, and I'm going to say that to him, and he's going to say this to me, and I'm going to say that to him. And I get there, and he doesn't follow script. And they went to the other director. Director said, oh, this is a bad movie.
Right.
Bad. We're not playing that up here. We're not up here. No, not even family radio.
No.
Bitterness and sin don't get up past
blood. Amen.
But I can't get through there. It's a bad fertilizer for sin.
Amen.
Terrible. So you got all the stuff going on in your mind. All the things that you've done. All the things that you've done in your lifetime. Everybody that you've hurt. Everybody that you wanted. Because the devil had a lot of fun training you how to do it.
Yep.
And you only did because you were offended. One
yep.
time somewhere in your life. So now you're just acting out what it is you're trained to do. You know, it should be, what would Satan do? No problem, I'll tell you. I got him figured out real good. No, he got you figured out real good.
Yeah.
And he knows who you are because he sees who you are. You see, that's the problem. And so you're hanging around with all this bitter, and you go before God and say, I forgive Johnny for saying that. You know, and you go through this whole thing with him, and God's saying, well, what about you? I want you to forgive yourself.
Amen.
My teacher heard this story, and I'm going to tell it again. I was about ready to preach on forgiveness, brother.
Of all things, I'm going to preach on forgiveness one day. Now, we preach outside, so we have our services outside, because I figured, well, he made a pretty good church out here, and the sanctuary is pretty beautiful out here. Sometimes he likes to rain on. Okay, on porch. So I was going to preach on forgiveness, for heaven's sakes, because, you know, I'm a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. These people need to know how to forgive people. Because I was going through this whole restoration message with him. And I figured I had it. First day talking about it.
You just started getting it. Just had your attention.
Just had my attention.
That's right.
I'm laying in bed. Drifting off sleep. Very tired. Excited for the next day. Very tired. Just drifting off bed. I'm sleeping. Just fall asleep. All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit says, forgive yourself. Why don't I go up? Right. Forgive yourself. Oh. And then, it's like devil, like, demon number 60,000! Respond now! On the DVD 11,532! Make sure you play that one, that's a good one. Get that one in his head. So I'm thinking of all this horrible thing that I got myself involved in my past. Then I asked for forgiveness for, that he forgave me about. And the next thing I hear from him, what sin are you talking about?
There you go.
I try to remind him. He says, forgive yourself or you're not preaching tomorrow. Oh, God, my vision. If I can't preach, I'm done. I'm dead.
I know it.
I'm just,
I know it.
Throw me away.
I know it.
Oh, bad. Jesus, come get me now.
I know it.
Oh, man, this kills you.
I know it.
I mean, it wasn't a... Forgive yourself or you're not preaching tomorrow. Okay, I crawl out of bed on my knees, leaning forward on my bed with my hands crossed. And I said, oh, Lord Jesus, please forgive me for not forgiving myself.
Amen.
I forgive me.
Amen.
I felt a damn bust open over my head. I felt for the first time the blood of Jesus Christ just trickle down, pour through my entire body, right out of my toes, into my hands, my feet. I felt for the first time, I felt what it was to truly be forgiven. I've been preaching a long time, but this was my day of restoration. It was my day. Hey, Billy, I've accepted you. I love you. Worry about what they say. Alright. And all this. Love you.
Amen.
You are my heart's desire. And I bawled. I cried. I got up. I got in bed. I felt clean. I felt whiter than snow. I felt like I could take on the devil and another devil. I mean, I was ready. I said, that next day I preached with such fire, I'm telling people who were walking by with beer cans, sat in the back, put their beer can down, and didn't touch it ever again.
Amen.
Giving yourself will restore you real quick.
Amen.
And then knowing what it is God called you to do and doing it. There's three levels of giftings. There's three different types of giftings in the body, or in the Holy Spirit gives us. There's obviously the gifts of the body, or the gifts of the Spirit to go into the world, which is the gift that I have. And my job isn't just to win souls as much, it's just to restore the ones that got lost. To teach them the right ways. To repair the breach.
Amen.
Amen. To restore the paths to dwell in.
Yes.
That's a pretty cool job. That's why I'm here. I'm here right now repairing your breach.
Amen.
And restoring your past to dwell in through Jesus Christ. And this is powerful. But when you can understand that your restoration begins with you, it begins when you can finally say to the devil, dude, I've been forgiven of that.
Amen.
And he's bringing up again, tells me how wicked you are.
Amen.
Because you have to threaten me. And I know that if you have to threaten me, you don't have a fight anymore.
Amen.
And
I was telling my brother Tyler back there who will be carrying the cross today for his friend who had, and I say had because we prayed last night, he had a brain tumor, and they took it out, and he had a hole in his head, and the so-called practicing physicians said he only had a 60% chance to live. And I'm thinking, jeez. You know, man, how do you know that? You got a scale there or something? And then get there, oh, you're dead! You got a whole one now, one more, 60% now, do it! Kill it! I don't want to be wrong. Oh, deal with that. You see? But when you get, he's going to be carrying the cross today for his friend.
Amen.
He's carrying the cross because you know what? Sometimes that's all you can do. Sometimes you just got to carry the cross for others.
Amen.
I mean, that's what carrying the cross means. You carry the cross for each other. But you can't do that if you haven't forgiven yourself.
Amen.
You see, so there's the gifts that go to the rest of the world, the body. Then there's the gifts in the body. That the pastors, their job is to shepherd these poor sheep.
Amen.
To keep them moving. Come on, what did Jesus do for you last week? Man, I'm telling you, great. Right here. Leave that at the altar, man. That's your tithe.
There you go.
Right here. Give it to them right now.
Yes.
Well, I made $100,000 last week. Well, praise Jesus, man. That's $10,000. Right there. Praise Jesus. We'll distribute it as needed. Okay, praise God. Amen. Hey, what are you doing? Man, I tell you, God did this. Praise Jesus. All right, now get back out there. Go.
Amen.
Go. Get out here. Come back with some more good news.
Amen.
Well, Pastor, our marriage is in trouble. Well, come on in here. Let's get restored.
Yes.
Well, my mom's sick. Okay, where's she at? I'll go. Amen. That's the pastor's heart. The teacher's heart is to make sure that the word to hear, he came to you quick.
Yep.
And gives example. And then a good teacher goes.
Yes.
Oh, there's an exciting
concept.
Yeah. The teacher said, follow me, students. We're going to be on a field trip today. How many people get excited when you go on a field trip?
Yeah! I'm on a field trip for Jesus!
Field trip for Jesus. I've been on the longest field trip of my life. 20 days across the state of Michigan. A field trip for Jesus. You know, this is awesome. But you see, that's what a teacher's supposed to do. And of course, an evangelist is to go out there and gather all those and get them excited about evangelizing. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, I said something there. The evangelist is to help ignite the evangelist in you.
Amen.
That's their job. Oh, guess what I'm doing? I'm igniting the evangelist in you.
Amen.
You know, not all are called to evangelize. Because you only need a couple motivators. But you're supposed to be the evangelist in some way.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Oh, because that's part of the second part of this. Oh, and that third giftings of the Holy Spirit. It's very special because they're to the secular world. They're the firemen. They're the police officers. They're the governments. They're the things that keep the devil at bay. Otherwise, he would run it amok around and we'd be all dead. So he does ordain government. And he gives them a gift for government. There are judges out there. Sometimes you shake your head at them going, who are you judging for? But if you pray for them,
amen,
you pray that their gifts should increase and they would have the knowledge of Christ, they will judge with mercy and grace as they're supposed to. They will have new ideas on how to help these people get restored. You see, there shouldn't be anybody in jail if you're doing your job. Mm-hmm. There shouldn't be anybody in the hospital if you're doing your job, saints.
Amen.
So I'm not trying to lay a guilt trip on you. I'm just saying you just had men restored. Y'all sitting in here. Preacher preaches a good message. Really cool. I'm going to go watch the show. But if this is a show for you, you're in trouble.
I know that's right.
Amen. It's true. He's a great character. I love him. He got me excited. But he's like my twin brother. We'd have a hard time living with each other.
I know that.
We'd never sleep. like I said, you'd have to be your wedding ring. There's a gift of prophecy. You know what a gift of prophecy is? I don't want to give you the short and dirty on prophecy. It is speaking the word of God in due season.
Yes.
Speaking the word of God in due season. And if it does not line up with the word of God, it's a false prophecy.
Come on.
There is such a thing as a word of knowledge.
That means that I think he's getting something from the Holy Spirit about you that God wants to deal with. So that you can get out there and do what you're supposed to do.
Come on, that's it.
That's part of rest.
That's it.
And that's a great prophet. When a prophet of God can come to you and say, I see you're struggling with this spirit.
Yes. Yes.
Not that you're a really lousy person.
No.
And God's about ready to strike you.
No.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
A prophet can bring the message of God in love. But there are some times when the prophet has to let loose. And he has to spank the entire congregation because they're not doing the first works.
Amen.
Jesus talks to the churches in the last days. He talks to all 12 churches, or I mean all 7 churches. Now, how many people have read the churches in Ephesus? How many have read it? I encourage you to read Revelations chapter 2 and 3. And I want you to think about the different types of personalities that are in the churches. They fit in those categories. You know that he looked at me and he says, you know, son, you're like the church of Sardis. You say you have a name, but you're dead. That was prior to me forgetting myself. You say you're alive, but you're dead. I was keeping myself out of heaven. Oh, dang, I may have been out there doing the word of the Lord and people are going to heaven because of my works, but the Lord's going to say to me in the last day, he says, depart from me. I never knew you.
What? I mean, hey, in your name, hey.
I never knew you. I tried to forgive you. I tried to cover you with my blood and you wouldn't let me.
Uh-oh.
You would held back on forgiveness towards yourself when I was dying for you in the first place.
Right.
Father, forgive me. Church in Ephesus. This is where we are. Some of you may fall into this category. You judge those apostles. They say they're apostles and they're not. God's happy with that. He's happy. That's it. Just, this I have against you. You have forgotten your first love.
Right.
You've forgotten your first love. You forgot what I did for you when I saved you. You forgot that. You forgot the freedom I gave you. You forgot that, man, I washed everything out of your life. I washed that devil ring out of your head. You can tell when I was born. And the Lord rebuked them and said, return to your first love. Return to me. Abba, Father. My Son, my Holy Spirit, and do the first works. Believe on Him that sent His Son, Jesus Christ, in the world that whosoever would believe would be saved. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus' name means God who saves.
Amen.
Yes, you are. Lord, Yahweh, God. You know when you breathe in at night and exhale, you're going,
oh, the very breath that you breathe is saying His name.
Amen. Think about that for a couple minutes. That'll blow your mind.
Amen.
Shua, who saves. Shua saves us. You don't have anybody saved in the name of Robert,
right?
In the name of Robert. Have fun with that. In the name of the God who saves you, be healed. In the name of the God who saves you, be delivered. In the name of the God who saves you, be restored. In the name of the God who saves you, be restored and saved.
Amen.
That's why His name means what it means. Because His name has meaning. It's power.
Right.
In no other name can anyone be saved.
Right.
In no other name can anybody be delivered. In no other name can anybody be transformed or healed.
Amen.
There is no other name.
Amen.
I'm going to guarantee if you look, the name of Robert be healed. Ain't happening.
I know it.
And I can tell you this, in the name of Dr. Scholes, it doesn't work either because I still have blisters. Are you getting all this? This is good stuff. The Holy Spirit does this stuff sometimes. Praise God. But the important thing, James, is this, is if you can learn to forgive yourself, it is a whole lot easier forgiving those because now you have a foundation to forgive them because now you can look at them with the nails in your own hands and look down upon them who are offending you because they've been offended.
Come saved. On.
Yeah. Forgive that wealthy man to look at Christ.
That's right.
Does it make sense to you?
Yes.
Sitting well with your spirit. Are you understanding? If you must fulfill your calling, he is going to,
right.
He is going to bring you to him. He is going to, you're going to stand before him one day, and he is going to bring an account of everything that you worked out in your flesh.
Right.
Whether it be for good or for evil. If it was for evil and it's under the blood, you won't ever see it again. But if it's for good, I hope you're pulling it in. Oh, just a minute, Dad. Oh, but woo! Pay on in! Lay it at his feet. And you can do that.
Amen.
I don't care if you're 2. I don't care if you're 85. I don't care if your last breath is Jesus. You still can fulfill the purpose in your life.
Amen.
If you believe on the one who sent you.
Amen.
If you have a relationship with the Father, you will have a relationship with the Son.
Amen. That's right.
And you will have His Holy Spirit to remind you of them both.
Yes. Yes.